It's hot today. I had to go home, take my shoes off. We had to go old school today. For about the first 20 years of preaching, I preached barefoot every week. A lot of you know people don't know that. And then our church moved into a brewery, and the floor was a little bit sticky. So I started wearing shoes. It's hot today. I can't keep the microphone on my fat ear. So we're preaching barefoot with a handheld. We're going to have fun today. Look at this. I even got me a sweat rag up here. Listen. I'm too old and too fat to be pastor at Action Church with no air conditioning. Week two of our series called Wise Guy. And we're looking at some of the lessons of the wisest guy in the Bible. Let's be honest, when you hear that phrase, wise guy, most of us don't think about our Bible. We think about a gangster, we think about the mafia, we think about Goodfellas, we think about the Godfather, the Sopranos. We think about family. We think about the people that we do life together with. And if you've watched enough mafia movies over time, and I'm sure that we've all watched them, you know something that is always true? Nobody rises the ranks alone. Somebody puts their stamp on them. Somebody comes along and says, I'm going to take responsibility for this person. Everybody in the mafia, they have a crew. Everybody has people whispering in their ear. Everybody has influencers. And in the mafia, the wrong crew will get you killed, and the right crew will help you build empires. And as dramatic as that seems, and as dramatic as the movies are, as you begin to read the words of Solomon, you'll see that he put a lot of emphasis on the people that we do life with. He says in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the wise and become wise. Hang out with a bunch of fools, but it won't go so well. Solomon's letting us know a principle that every one of us should fully grasp and that we should fully understand. Who you walk with determines where you end up. Listen, I know it's hot today, but I said, who you walk with determines where you end up. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Now we need to remember who this guy is that is telling us this lesson. He's the king at the time. He's the son of David. He has ascended to the throne. And over time, we see that he is the wisest man who ever lived. He didn't become king because of his ability to fight. He did not build a name for himself because of his education. God came to him and told him he would give him whatever he wanted. All the riches in the world, all the kingdoms in the world, all the women in the world. And Solomon asked for this. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. He said, here's what I need. I need wisdom. If I'm going to lead, I need wisdom. If people are going to follow me, I need wisdom. If I'm going to direct this kingdom and help it achieve everything that it can achieve, I need wisdom. Wisdom seems to be a missing ingredient in leadership nowadays. God was so pleased with his request that he gave Solomon wisdom unlike anybody who ever lived. Kings from all over the world would come and seek out his advice. Queens would travel hundreds of miles just to hear him speak. People came from around the world to glean from Solomon. Because he asked for wisdom, he was able to achieve all the other things. He had all the riches. He was able to obtain all the kingdoms. And out of that wisdom, he recorded so many lessons for us. I told you last week, and I'm still debating, and I'm thinking about in 2027 preaching a 52-week series through Proverbs. There's just so much truth there. Every chapter's full of practical wisdom that we can apply to our life, but right now we're just taking a few weeks and looking at some of those things. Last week we looked at the principle that Solomon said, above all else, more than anything else, guard your heart. As your heart goes, so you go. Today I want to look at this principle, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I think so many times we have, especially in our day and time, we have almost watered down what it means to be a friend. I have over 12,000 friends on Facebook. We no longer use the word acquaintance, associate. Everybody's a friend, and in the process, we've cheapened what it means to be a friend. Friends are people that we do life with, people that we can speak truth to. Positive truth and negative truth. We can come alongside of them when they're doing good and celebrate with them, and we can come along when they're not doing what they should be doing and get in their grill and they're still friends. Friends are people that we don't always agree with and we can disagree with and still be friends. I had people call me this week. It's getting a little political in ball ground as election season comes up. You might find this shocking, but I'm very vocal. I know, shocker. On politics locally. And people called me this week and said, we're not going to agree on this. And I hope it doesn't affect our friendship. If it affects our friendship, then we weren't friends to begin with. I'm 50 years old. I'm an adult. We don't have to see eye to eye to be friends. If I'm your friend, I'm your friend. But we've watered down what it means to be a friend. So today I just want to get real practical and I want to talk about who sits at your table. Because who sits at your table is so vital as you try to achieve what you feel God wants you to achieve in life. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And that's the first thing I want you to realize today. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. People tell me all the time, the Bible is just complicated. I don't understand it. It can't get any simpler than this. The Bible says, walk with the wise and become wise. The Bible says, a companion of fools suffers harm. You are now or you soon shall be who your friends are. There's no way to avoid that. What I like about this verse is you read it, you'll notice it's not a suggestion, it's a promise. Solomon didn't say, walk with the wise and you might become wise. He said, you will become wise. He doesn't say, walk with fools and maybe something bad will happen. He said, walk with fools and you will suffer harm. It's a promise you can take to the bank. He says there's some outcomes that are guaranteed. And one of those outcomes is show me who you do life with, and I'll show you the direction of your life. We don't like to accept that. That's a hard reality. But you are the sum total of the people, the five people you do life with the most. Outside of your spouse, show me the five people that you do life with. And I will pinpoint the type of life you live. I will pinpoint the values that you have. I will pinpoint your ambition in life. Because you are now or you soon shall be who your friends are. In other words, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Solomon understood something that we often forget, and we need to understand this. Nobody drifts alone. Nobody gets off course alone. Nobody succeeds alone. Nobody achieves greatness alone. Nobody ruins their life alone. The people closest to you are quietly shaping who you are and who you are becoming. Your attitude, your priorities, your marriage. I said your marriage. Hang out with people who bitch about their marriage nonstop, and you'll be bitching about your marriage nonstop. Your habits, your walk with God will be influenced by those you do life with. The reality is influence is inevitable. We're like sponges. We don't even realize that we're becoming like the people that we do life with. Show me your friends and I'll show your future. The question is never whether you're being influenced by other people. The question is always who's influencing you. Not because your friends necessarily make decisions for you, but because influence is one of the most powerful forces on earth. We become like those we do life with. You become like what you spend the most time around. You don't even realize it's happening. Conversation by conversation, dinner by dinner, phone call by phone call, relationship by relationship, little by little, people around you begin shaping how you talk, how you act, even how you dress. They begin to shape your worldviews on life, what you value, what you tolerate, what you pursue, and eventually, you can argue with me all day, they shape who you become. Hang around successful people and you'll become successful. Hang around people good with finances and you'll become good with finances. Hang around people who have bad marriages and your marriage will become bad. You say, I just don't think it works like that. It works exactly like that and you don't even realize it. Solomon said, walk with the wise and become wise. We are shaped by the people that we do life with. How many of you have kids? How many of you have or had teenagers? Teenager ever had that friend? That friend? That friend? You know, the minute they walk in, they're no good for your child. You see it, they don't see it. You meet them immediately and just something feels off. I sometimes worry that my Luke is that kid in people's lives. You see where those kids are headed and you don't want your kids going in that direction. You see the choices they're making, and you don't want your children making those choices. Your kids always respond by becoming like those they hang out with. I don't know that it happens intentionally, but it just happens because influence is inevitable. The funny thing is we laugh at teenagers and we adults are just as bad. The older I get, the more I realize that we adults have the mindset of teenagers. The only difference is we have mortgages. A new family can come in this church and I can tell you within 4 weeks what type of person they are by who they gravitate towards. It's like they've got an antenna that draws them to people like themselves. Troublemakers flock to troublemakers. Lucky for us, we don't have many troublemakers right here. They don't last real long. People who have a heart of serving, just something happens and immediately they're running around with those who love to serve. We're drawn to people like ourselves. We're drawn to people that we are attracted to, whether it's mentally or spiritually or emotionally, and over time we become like those people. Hang around negative people long enough and you will become negative. Sounds cliche, but birds of a feather what? Flock together. Hang around critical people long enough and you'll become critical. It's always funny to me when someone pulls me off to the side at church and said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And I'm saying, "Sure." Well, people have been coming to me. What have they been coming to you about? They have some concerns. I said, "Do you have concerns?" "Well, I just, people come to me." "Oh, the people you hang out with have concerns." I said, "I tell you what, when they want to voice their concerns to me, tell them to come talk to me." "Well, they're uncomfortable doing that." No, they're not. They just rather sit in their session with you and bitch because you listen and you bitch back. I can't believe the pastor said bitch. I'm trying to give you reality today. Don't act like you don't use it the minute you get in the car. Don't act like you didn't use it on your way to church today when you were fighting with your kids getting ready for church on Sunday morning. We don't do fake around here. God sees you in this old gym as much as he sees you everywhere. You might not like me on Sunday morning, but you'll get the same person Monday through Saturday. Man. Hang around angry people long enough and you'll become angry. Not at this church, but other churches. Hang around those who gossip long enough, and next thing you know, you'll be gossiping. Hang around people who love Jesus, and it's amazing how you'll start loving Jesus. Hang around people who are pursuing excellence. It's amazing how your mind shifts to be around those that are excellent. The people around us matter more than we think. Show me someone who's not successful at business, and I'll point out the people they do life with and show you why. They shape us. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Notice how it doesn't say good company influences bad character. It says bad company corrupts good character. You put a rotten fruit next to a healthy fruit, the healthy fruit doesn't turn the rotten fruit healthy. But the rotten fruit will turn the healthy fruit unhealthy nonstop. It is very rare where you are able to pull people up. If I was to put somebody right here, if Kylie was to stand right here and we were to lock arms and I was to try to pull him up and he was to try to pull me down, even though I'm better looking than Kylie, even though I'm bigger than Kylie, even though I'm more muscular than Kylie, even though I would whoop Kylie's butt in a one-on-one fight, Kylie would pull me down every time. It's easier to pull people down than it is to pull them up. I love how Paul starts. He says, "Do not be misled." That's important because here's what we think we're different. We think we're different by thinking we're different. That won't happen to me. Ladies, how many times have you thought you could change him when no one else could? We think we're the exception to the rule. I can influence them more than they'll influence me. Paul says, don't fool yourself. He says, do not be misled. He says nobody is immune from influence. Nobody, not teenagers, not adults, not pastors, not business owners, not leaders. Nobody. And he says corrupt character destroys good character. Who are you doing life with? Because they shape your future. We become a product of our environment. This sounds like heaven on earth right now, but if I went and sat in a walk-in freezer for the next 8 hours, I'd get frozen. Because my environment is cold, I become cold. If I go sit in a sauna for the next 8 hours, I would probably die. So if I sat in a sauna for the next 45 minutes, I become hot. Because I am a product of my environment. Relational environments shape people. You are now, or you soon shall be who your friends are. Show me the people you spend the most time with, and I'll show you the direction your life is headed. Those of you who are not married and you're dating, you need to understand that principle. When you're dating someone, you ask yourself, do they live a life that I envision myself living? Do they have the values that I have? Do they have the goals that I have? Do they have the vision that I have? And if they don't, run, because you're not changing them. People ask me all the time, what is it you love the most about Christine? She's never tried to change me. For all of my loud mouth, arrogant, stick my foot in my mouth way, she's never tried to change me. And had she tried to change me, she would have failed. Now, we've been together 13 years. God has changed me. The Holy Spirit has changed me. Who I do life with has changed me. Goals I had changed me. But she would have never been able to change me by herself. See, we don't understand that wisdom is often caught, not taught. I have people in my life that I sit down with for the sake of picking their brain, and I get stuff out of it. But I get more out of it when I'm just around those people doing life with them, and I'm picking up on things they're throwing out when they don't know they're throwing them out. Wisdom is caught by what you immerse yourself in. Some of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in life didn't come from a book. They came from being around the right people, watching how they handle situations, watching how they trusted people, watching how they made decisions, and watching how they lived. I gave my life to Christ after my teenage years. I was about 20 years old. I'm not going to go into that story today, but God radically changed my life. I then felt God was calling me to preach. And so I went to Bible college. I went to Bible college for a long time, and I have a lot of degrees. I know that's shocking to you. But I didn't learn how to do ministry going to Bible college. I learned how to do ministry when my pastor, who was about a 5'3" Cherokee Indian, wild man who God had radically changed, looked at me and said, "Everywhere I go, you're going." He said, "Oh, by the way, I'm not paying you either." He said, "So when you get off work, you call me every day and see if I need you to do anything." I would get off work, I'd go pick him up, and I'd go to hospital visits with him. I would watch him do counseling sessions. I would travel around the country as he preached revivals, and I was as good, I'd set his little table up and sell his little merch, and I'd get back in the car and drive and do all the things for him. I watched how he dealt with people at funerals. Never one time did he look at me and say, here's how you do it. I just walked with the wise and I learned how to do it. We underestimate the power of who we do life with. The question is not, am I being influenced? The question is, who is influencing me? Because make no mistake about it, you're being influenced. Solomon's warning is clear. He says, show me your friends and I'll show your future. So if relationships are so powerful, the question becomes, how do I decide who gets access to my life? First thing you got to understand is, show me your friends, I'll show your future. And here's the second thing you need to grasp today. This would be a game-changing principle for some of you. Not everyone gets a seat at your table. Just because they're in your life doesn't mean they get a seat at your table. One of the biggest mistakes people make is confusing loving people and giving people access. I can love you without you having total access to my life. They're not the same thing. As Christians, as Christ followers, hear me out. We're called to love everybody. We're called to give everybody influence. We're not called to give everybody a front row view of your life. That can hurt your feelings. That can make you feel like you don't matter. It's just reality. If you're coming to this church and you think because you go to this church, I'm your pastor, you have unlimited access to me, you're going to be sorely mistaken. That does not mean I don't love you. That does not mean I will not be there for you. That does not mean I will not drop everything as your life's falling apart and do whatever it takes to walk you through whatever it is you're going through. But it does mean you don't get unlimited access to me. So many people are exhausted because they've never learned the difference between this. As you're examining the people in your life, there's a lot of people who have access to you who shouldn't have access to you anymore. This is not popular. There's going to be people in your life that you outgrow. Man, they've been loyal to me for 20 years. That's awesome. I love loyalty. The problem is you outgrew them 15 years ago. You haven't brought them up in 15 years, but they've held you back. I didn't say you've got to ignore them. I didn't say you've got to cut them out of your life. I didn't say you have to end the friendship. But you might have to change the seat on the bus if you want to achieve all that God has for you in life. Proverbs, look what it says, walk with the wise and become wise. Companion of fools suffers harm. I like that word companion. A companion of fools suffers harm. To be my companion means you had to be close to me. Somebody I trusted. Somebody who has access. Somebody who has influence. Solomon is teaching us here that proximity matters. Who's the companions in your life? Who are the people in your life that have too much access, and because of choices they're making and lifestyles they're living, they're influencing you in all the wrong ways? I just don't know if I agree with this ideology. Then you don't agree with how Jesus did life. He modeled this to the T. Thousands of people came and heard Jesus teach. Jesus stopped everything anytime one of them had a need. But he did life with 12 of them. And of the 12, three had a whole nother level of influence and access than the other nine. Jesus knew that he could not give the thousands unlimited access. He had to make sure that the 12, and he got one of those wrong and he betrayed him, but he had to make sure that he had the 12 around him were rowing in the same direction. Jesus loved everybody, but not everybody got to sit at the table. Access and love are not the same thing. I recently on my phone had to block somebody who goes to this church. I don't know that this person did anything wrong, but this person had not earned the right to have that type of access to me. You say, well, I don't like that. I didn't ask you if you liked it. You must have me mistaken. They didn't have the right to have that type of access. They had not earned the right to have that type of access. If they need to get in touch with me, they can send me a direct message through social media. They can reach us through our church page, but they did not need to have direct access to me in regards to my telephone number. We have a church number that everybody can have. You say, why are you making such a big deal about that? Because here's why. Access is important. Those that have that kind of access to me, I want to make sure that they're people that I believe in, that they believe in me, that we have the same values and the same morals and the same goals and the same vision, because I become influenced by the people I do the most life with. Some of you need to hear that today. You need to understand there's this amazing thing called boundaries. Boundaries are not selfish. Boundaries are not always for the other person. Boundaries are for your sanity. Some of you struggle with that. Some of you feel guilty creating those type of boundaries because you spent years allowing toxic people to occupy places they should have never occupied. Every time you tried to create a boundary, somebody came along and accused you of being selfish. So you tore down the boundary. You've allowed toxic people in your life for years, and you've mistaken the longevity of them being in your life and ignored the toxicity of them being in your life. Who has the loudest voice in your life? Who do you call when life falls apart? Who do you listen to when you're making decisions? Who influences your thinking? Who speaks into your finances? Who speaks into your marriage? Who speaks into your business decisions? Who speaks into your faith? Who are the people that are pouring into your life? Because the people pouring into your life is what will overflow from your life. Who speaks into your future? Those people matter. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Notice that imagery is iron sharpens iron. It's saying that sometimes the sharpening is not comfortable. The growing is uncomfortable. Sometimes it will be a little harder than we expected it to be. You ever truly sharpened a knife? It's work. There's a guy at the Jasper Flea Market, it's so much work that we take our knives to him. I could do it. Who are we kidding? I couldn't do it. But we take them to him. And when he does it, he makes you stand back because it's dangerous. Little pieces of metal are breaking off and sparks are flying and Sometimes the sharpening process is dangerous. Real friends don't tell you what you want to hear. They will tell you what you need to hear. The right friend will challenge you. The right friend will confront you. The right friend will come along and call you out in your blind spots. The right friend will tell you things that you don't want to hear, but you need to hear. The problem is very few of us have those type of friends. We have friends who say 90% of what needs to be said. But the last 10% is what would change our life. But the last 10% is what we convince ourselves will ruin the friendship. The last 10% is what will strengthen the friendship if it's a godly friendship. Daniel, have you all, look at my boy Daniel here, cheesed and confused. Listen, food truck's here. You didn't bring us no food today? You didn't bring us a chicken parmesan or nothing? You just came to church? Daniel, we've had some tough conversations over the years. Daniel is older than me, and I call Daniel my illegitimate child. He's the child I never wanted. Boy, I have gotten your grill before. You've gotten my grill before. We're better because of our friendship. I'm better because of this man right here as my friend. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Everybody wants friends who support them. And what you need is friends who will sharpen you. Let me enlighten you on something. Correction is not rejection. Just because someone close to you corrects you, it does not mean they're rejecting you. Matter of fact, they're correcting you because they love you. I don't correct my children because I enjoy correcting my children. I correct my children because I want them to learn from what they did and to be better. There's a missing thing in church world nowadays called church discipline. The Bible goes through it, and I'm not going to break down church discipline talking about when a brother or sister's in sin and how we deal with it. But here's the problem. The church has turned church discipline into punishment. Church discipline was correction for someone to see the error of their ways and for us to love them back into what they were supposed to be. The hell, the church throws them out when they mess up? What stupid BS is that? The Christian army, the only army that shoots its own. It's disgusting. Support without truth is enabling. Support without truth is enabling. If I support you, but I don't give you truth, I'm enabling your behavior. But as your friend and in the friends that are in my life, they need to be able to speak truth into our life. Real friendship makes you better, not just happier. One of the questions I get or I ask myself a lot is this: are the people closest to me pulling me closer to God? Or further from him? It's amazing how many friendships in my life that I backed away from as I asked this question. Are the people closest to me pulling me closer to God? Or are they pushing me further away? People rarely drift to God accidentally. They drift to God because people come alongside of them and do life with them. This book is full of people doing life with other people and bringing them closer to God. Who has a seat at your table? The wrong voices will pull you away from God. The right voices will draw you close to God. You can love everybody. You can serve everybody. You can pray for everybody. You can be kind to everybody. But access should be earned. Influence should be earned. Who's at the table? There's only so many seats at the table. So who's at the table? Are there people who make you better or people who tear you down? Last thing, and I'm done, and we're going to get out of here. We need to understand number three, the right friends can change your life. The right friends can change your life. Whenever people hear a message like this, they immediately start thinking about who they need to remove from their lives. It's not what Solomon's saying here. Solomon isn't just warning us about the wrong people. He's showing us the power of the right people.
That's right.
I'm not telling you to walk away from that person who's been in your life for 20 years. I'm not telling you to kick them off the bus. But they might not need to be in the first seat on the bus. Who's the right person in that seat? Christine and I have had huge discussions as we get older. Are the people around us living a life that we want to live? Are the people around us, do they have the same goals that we have? Not saying their goals are wrong, but we have very specific goals. 4 years, and the last brat's out of the house. No, 4 years, Luke starts ninth grade this year. I'm not throwing Emily out, but I'll throw Luke out in 4 years. He's a boy. Empty nesters, it's the fantasy, right? Traveling all over. The beach all the time. Her feeding me grapes. No, just kidding. We got goals. We got dreams. I cannot maintain the pace that I currently maintain. I put on events for a living. I cannot, as I get older, continue to put on festivals at the rate that I do them. It's not possible. It takes me longer to recover now. It takes a bigger toll on my body. It makes me more irritable when I see the weather coming in and I know I have a big event. So we've got to start making changes. We've got to start going in different direction and doing things different, because if you keep doing the same things you've always been doing, don't be shocked, you keep getting the same things you've always been getting. So as we begin to think about the fourth quarter of my life, I'm 50 now. I have lived longer than I'm going to live. As I'm now into the fourth quarter of my life and I realize I don't want to work the rest of my life, what changes do I have to make? And I begin to look at the people around me and I ask myself, are they having the same thoughts I'm having? And if they're not, it doesn't make them bad people, but they don't need to be at the table. So they've been replaced. That sounds cold-hearted. They've been replaced. Because the Bible says every man must give an account for himself. I'm responsible for my family. I'm responsible to protect my family. I'm responsible to provide for my family. If you want to operate at a 6, man, God bless you at a 6. I want to operate at a 20. And that's on a scale of 1 to 10. It's like Spinal Tap. It goes to 11. Why isn't 10 the highest? Because 11's higher. I know that was way, I just aged myself a whole lot. Go to YouTube and type that in, and you'll get that reference. Kylie, you and I are the only ones who got, and Phil probably, the only one who got the whole reference. One mentor, one friend, one coach, one business partner, one person speaking truth into your life can change your life. Nobody accomplishes anything significant alone. In the Bible, when they sent men out, they sent them out in twos. David had Jonathan, Paul had Barnabas, Timothy had Paul. We were never meant to do life alone. So who are you doing life with? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. I like that. Solomon's not saying you'll never fall. He's assuming you will fall.
Oh, yeah.
And he's saying how miserable in life to fall and not have anybody to help you up. Here's the reality about life. Life is hard. Here's the reality about marriage. Marriage is hard. Here's the reality about parenting. Parenting is hard. Business is hard. Following Jesus is hard. You're going to have days when you struggle. You're going to have days when you doubt. You're going to have days when you're tired. You're going to have days when you're discouraged. The question is not whether or not you're going to fall. The question is who will be standing beside you to help pick you up? The people you do life with. One of the greatest lies that culture tells us is that strength means independence. That we can do life alone. That if you're successful enough, tough enough, smart enough, you don't need anybody else. Jesus didn't model that. The Bible did not model that. He surrounded himself with people. Paul surrounded himself with people. Even Solomon here is telling us as a wise guy that we need people. Listen to me, nobody wins alone. I can tell you from personal experiences, the biggest moments in my life happened because of relationships. People who didn't believe in me when I believed in myself. People who challenged me when I needed someone to challenge me. People who encouraged me when I wanted to quit. People who told me the truth when nobody else would. Every success I've had in life, I can look back and work backwards, and the success came from the relationships that I had. So my question today as we wrap up is, who are your people? Not your Facebook friends. Not your Instagram followers. Not the people who hit like on your posts. Who are your friends? Who are your people? Who are the people that truly know you? Who are the people that will walk with you regardless of what you do and how wrong it is, but when you're doing it wrong, they're going to make sure they're telling you you're doing it wrong. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. I've had some friends in my life wound me with truth. Hurt my feelings, if you will. But those wounds healed stronger and made me stronger. Real friendship isn't finding people who always agree with you. It's finding people who love you enough to tell you the truth. So who's in your life? Some of the people you need to cut out of your life are your family. Because they love you too much to hurt your feelings. And back that up. They think they love you too much to hurt your feelings. That's why we enable our children. God, there's so many local references in the sermon, but I'm maturing and I'm not. I think the problem is we spend our lives looking for those kind of friends instead of asking ourselves, am I that type of friend? Are you a friend who encourages? Are you a friend who sharpens? Are you a friend who speaks truth? Everybody wants a friend like that in their life, but the question is, are we being that type of friend? Think about the people you spend the most time with outside of your marriage and ask yourself this. Do they make me more like Jesus or pull me away from him? Do they challenge me to become better or make excuses for my worst habits? When I'm with them, do I leave encouraged or do I leave drained? This one's real sobering. If my kids grew up to become like my closest friends, would I be proud of that? Some uncomfortable questions. I'll post these on our Facebook page for those of you who want to see them later. But they're important questions to ask. Think about the people you do life with. I'm not asking you to abandon those who need Jesus. We're called to reach all people. But Jesus loved those far from God without letting those far from God shape his life. Because he had the right people around him. So I want you to make three intentional moves this week. Here's where the rubber hits the road. Here's how we implement this message and we start the process of walking with the wise. Spend less time with one relationship that's pulling you away from God. Get honest. Nobody lies to ourselves better than us. Examine the people you do life with. Ask you, who's the one person who's pulling you away from God? And just this week, spend less time with that person. Now look at the people around you. Of the people around you, who pulls you closer to God? Spend more time with the one person who makes you better. And third of all, ask someone you respect spiritually, go get a cup of coffee. Go get a drink. Go grab lunch. Buy the coffee for them. And ask them questions. Ask them how they've got to where they are in life and what they had to go through. Learn from them. My new thing now is everybody wants time with me. I get messages nonstop. You got 5 minutes you can meet this week. You got 10 minutes you can meet this week. You got 30 minutes you can meet this week. And I have now started to respond back and say, I do have time to meet this week. What is it you would like to talk about? Because the most valuable thing I have is my time. And I'm not wasting it. If they come back with an answer, well, I would like to talk to you. I'm having some issues with my marriage. I then respond back and say, I would love to talk to you about your marriage. Where I can be better prepared for our meeting, why don't you send me the 5 questions you want to ask me? I'm forcing them to think, because here's the deal. What they'll do is they'll take up 2 hours of my time and never ask anything. These things make us uncomfortable. They don't necessarily sit well with us because it's called being an adult. And we still act like teenagers. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. One of the most important decisions you can make. And you, I've hit the age in life where I can say, you young people. You young people, listen to what I'm telling you today. Because it gets harder to walk away the older you get. Set the foundation now that you're going to have people around you who are rowing in the same direction as you. If they don't have the same goals, cut them off. If they don't have the same values, cut them off. If they're not chasing dreams, cut them off. See, that seems drastic. Cut them off. Walk with the wise and become wise. Nobody becomes wise by accident. A companion of fools suffers harm. Let's pray.